This morning, we're going to talk about honoring father and mother. But as I sometimes am successful, I believe, is
not approaching things from the typical angle.
And so what we're not going to do is we're not going to go back to the Ten Commandments and then focus in on what Moses recorded. We're not going to go just simply to one passage. We're not going to stay with Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. We're not going to stay at Proverbs 22, 6. We're going to include those in our lesson this morning, but that's not going to be where we're going to put up our tent and stay. But we are going to put our focus on something I think is hurting our nation. And in saying that, I'd like to make it known that I'm only 33 years old. My wife is, I'm not that foolish. And as Rick said, we have four children. And so I'm going to be addressing, while I know some elderly members, some children, I'm going to be addressing some parents here my age who are dealing with this very issue right now. And you're looking for help. I know that because I am too. And as Brother Perry Cotham said, we need to go back to the Word of God. And it's all well and good to read books at the bookstore. Go to Books A Million and pick up a book by this fellow over here, this lady over here, on tips of parenting, and all that's well and good. But if the foundation for that material is not found here in the Word of God, then it's not all good. It needs to get back to God's Word. There was a widow who had scrimped and saved for quite a long time to put her only son through college. And after many arguments of, I'm not going to college, he finally said, all right, I'll go. He went on to college, spent 4 years laboring, trying to make the best grades that he could and learn as much as he could, much as was being presented to him. And his mother came to the graduation and sat there quietly, you know, all filled with joy. That's my boy up there walking across that platform and even wiping a tear from her eye because it was such a joyous occasion. And as the young man walked by and he received his degree, he walked on to the row where he was supposed to take a right and go and sit, but he kept on walking. He kept on walking until he reached the row where his mother was. And said, excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse me. And he said, Mother, here's your degree. You've earned it. Where has that honor gone? Where has the honor gone among my generation? Even those younger, those that Esther and I are trying to rear up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and train them up in the way that they should go. Where has that honor gone? Where the child realizes what they have and are taught to express appreciation. Is it the child's fault? Is it the parent's fault? Is it the preacher's fault? Is it the fault of the Bible class teacher for not getting in there and saying, you will sit down, and I mean right now, and you will say thank you, and you will say yes ma'am, and no ma'am, and you will say all the... Whose fault is it? Somebody has to stand up and take the blame. Let me tell you what happens in the Tally household. When my children mess up, and they do, because they're just like their daddy. And when they mess up, their daddy has to stand up and say, that's my fault. That's my fault. Should have been on that a little bit more. Should have been a little tighter. Should have been home a little bit more. I should have been more in tune to what was going on. And I saw the symptoms, but I had studying to do. And I saw the symptoms, but this member over here needed me. And I saw the symptoms and this and this and this. And before you know it, they're taught not to honor. And who's going to stand up and take the fall, the blame? I don't just blame the parents. I don't just blame the Bible class teacher or the elders or the child. But we all have a part in the way that the world is today. Whether it is we didn't do enough or we did too much in a negative area. Here's the compass to take us through our lesson. We're going to have a 3x3 lesson. I might give you three principles concerning why children or why honor is not found in the home. And then we're going to notice the challenge, three challenges to bringing honor back in the home. And I want to begin in the beginning, point number one. Some children don't see it very significant to have honor for their parents. Now notice I said some. I'm not going to, and I appreciate what Brother Allen said last night, not all children are the same. And some are going to say yes ma'am and no ma'am. I tell you, I'm not going to continue to bring up my family here, but we're going to stress that in my home. Now I'll tell you this as well, that wasn't stressed when I was growing up. I just couldn't say huh. That wasn't allowed. You didn't say huh. You at least said what. But even that from my father got the don't care for that. And you know what? When I was growing up, my daddy would have hit me across the room if I'd have said that. Well, maybe that was the case. I don't think that it was. I think he was just trying to put that pile of rocks outside the door and let me know, hey, there's going to be consequence if you don't straighten up. But we need to stress the use of manners. And so I say that even when I talk about my children, they don't say it all the time. But what do we say? Hey, where'd your manners go? Did you leave them at the house? What's the problem? Can't you get a little respect, a little honor here? Not all children, though, are the same. Luke 2 and 52, what do we find of Jesus Christ? That after his parents went all the way back to Jerusalem, and notice where they found him, in the temple, listening, asking, even answering questions, probably questions that people had about his knowledge and about his ability to say and do the things that he was saying and doing, only at 12 years old. I'd like to think about where my children will be if I can't find them when they're 12 years old. But nonetheless, when they went back to him, the Bible tells us at the end of Luke chapter 2 that they went forth, they went back to their home city, and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. This was a young man, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, who was not like everybody else. Oh, but that's Jesus. Preacher, you're talking about Jesus, and certainly I can't be like Jesus. Yes, we can. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me. Think about the ducks. How that when they're walking across the parking lot, going to that little pond there, they're out on the farm, or maybe they're swimming along, there's the big one, and there's all the little ones following right along in a little pattern. And Paul said, I want you to be followers of me as I am of Christ. Why follow him if I can't be like him? But you see, I can. And I strive every day to do that. Think also back with me at 1 Samuel 3. When Hannah was found there in the temple, she was praying quietly. And we all remember for what she was praying. She was praying for a son. But a son that she said, I will give this son to you, Lord, for your service. And when that prayer was granted, when it was administered and accomplished in her life, you remember that Samuel grew up under the tutelage of Eli, and he was a good man, a good servant of the Lord. Not all children are like Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus 12 or 10, 1 and 2. Not all children are going to turn to alcohol and then have their worship distorted in a way that they end up obeying the Lord they end up disobeying the Lord through their own desires and wishes. Putting themselves first rather than putting first the Lord. Not all children are like Eli's sons. Now just a moment ago we were in 1 Samuel 2. We get over there to 1 Samuel 3 and we find that Eli was told by Samuel, you didn't restrain your sons, they've become vile. Verse 13. Not all children are like that. But some children see the command to honor father and mother as very insignificant. It's not important. But then the parent passes away. Then they're standing there at the coffin. They're standing there at the gravesite, and the weeds have grown up, and they're pulling off the weeds from that grave marker, and they're saying, oh, how I wish I would have honored them when I had the chance. It's insignificant at some point in their life. But then significance comes, but oftentimes too late. We've probably all gone to the department store, and maybe on the other aisle, thankful that it wasn't our own. But on the other aisle we heard, but this is what I want, and if I don't get it, I'm going to be so angry, and I've got $2, it's only 10, and I want it right now. My birthday's in 2 months, and I want this, I want... Okay, that's fine. If you'll be quiet, I'll buy it for you. Jacob asked not too long ago, Dad, are parents just bossy because they're bigger than their kids? Yes, son.
And don't you forget it.
No, that's not just the reason, but it is helpful. I'm glad we don't shrink too much in our parentage. Kids, some children, they just don't understand. I say some, and I'm going to clump myself in that nutshell, because I didn't understand it growing up. And oh, how I wish could push just the rewind button and go back and say, I am sorry. I wish I would have done this and done that. And Proverbs 15 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that a wise child makes glad his father and is a blessing to his mother. There was probably a time in all of our lives when we might not have been that joy for maybe the parent to go out and say, oh, let me tell you about my son. It wasn't that long ago, a fellow called me from a past work, and we were talking back and forth, and I said, well, how are the kids? He said, well, one is in detention about 3 days out of the week, and one is in school suspension. Well, what's going on? He says, well, he keeps beating up people. And the other one can't keep his mouth closed in class, and so they're trying to discipline. I said, no. I said, what's going on in the home, and what's happening there, brother? He said, we're doing all we can do. This one's just different. Some children are just different. But I don't know who said it. I think it was Brother Mike Bonner said, we can't give up. I say part of the reason why we don't have maybe the honor in the home that we should is because some children don't see the significance of it. I was privileged to be able to go to, I've told the members here, to Corregidor Island there in the Philippines near Manila, and was there, heard the talk there on the tour of MacArthur, who stood and said, I will return. General Douglas MacArthur said of my sainted mother, she taught me a love for the Lord and love for my country. And it is because of her godly example that I give her the reverence and honor that is due her. He said that years after she had passed away. And I have to wonder if at a young age we don't see the significance of honoring our parents. Number two. To all parents, now to some children it's insignificant, but to all parents the concept of honoring is important. I dare say there's not a parent here this morning who says, you know what, I just really enjoy it when I hear my children curse at me. Oh, the other day the four-letter words they used just made me so proud. I dare say there's a parent here. Or a parent who would say, you know what, my children are stealing from me. Chip off the old block. Oh, but they're so disrespectful, and it just shows they have their own character, their own personality. No parent desires their children to be wicked. But every parent here would say, I thoroughly enjoy my children. And they are truly a blessing, no matter at what point in their lives, but certainly are a blessing when they honor me and when they make me happy and they fill me with joy when they do good and they do right. The wise child that gives understanding and that gives heed to the parent, Proverbs 5:1, that's not a dream. We sometimes say, well, this is my dream woman. Or this is my dream guy right here. You see, when we plan to get married, We say these are the ideal characteristics. That's my goal. I talk about basketball a lot. Love to play basketball. Don't profess to be very good at it, but love to play. And I will readily admit that while there are sometimes five other people and sometimes two other people on the team, they know that when they're on my team, they will only get the ball if it just falls out of my hands. Travis Gearhart and I were on a team the other day together, and I'm telling you, and I'm not kidding, we were on the same team, and I stole the ball from Travis. Because he wasn't going the same way I wanted to go, so I just took it from him. And I apologized later, but I didn't score either. I think he ended up scoring, but nonetheless, there's one goal. That's our goal. And we don't stop until the ball's in it. As a parent, I have one goal. One. Not five. I might have 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 steps to get me to that goal, but I have one goal. And that's for all four, Rick. Just four. That's for all four of my children to go to heaven. That's the only goal I have as a parent. And friends, I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to meet that one goal. The Proverbs 5:1 child is not a dream for me. It's my goal. And so when I wake up in the morning, it's how can I attain that goal? How can I reach that goal? Well, I need to be here for this. I need to be attentive to this. I need to discipline at this time. Instructive and corrective. Instructive through devotionals and teaching and prayer. Corrective through... Oh, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Alan opened up the door last night talking about a little bit about spanking and some disciplinary tactics. He opened the door. I'm going to bust her wide open today. But that'll be in just a moment. I think that honor is not found in the home because some children think it's pretty insignificant. But to all parents, it is important. But notice this in number 3. To the Lord, it is imperative. When we think about marriage... What a great lesson we heard this morning from Brother Cotham. When we think about marriage, what came first? Marriage or the church? Marriage. And could it not be said that marriage actually is the training for us as Christians? How that the Lord said, I want you to be dedicated, I want you to be devoted to your spouse. And so when the Lord came and He said, I will establish all of my churches. Oh, He didn't say that. He said, Matthew 16:18-19, I will establish my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is, not even death is going to stop me from doing this. And so when He said, I'm going to establish my church in Acts 20:28, His blood was shed to purchase that one church, Colossians 1:18, over which He is the head. It's His body. There's only one head, one church. And so when the Lord said, I'm going to give you marriage, He's saying, I'm going to train you because when Jesus comes to establish His church, you'll already know how to be dedicated and devoted to that one church. And that's why, my friend, when we read of adultery in the Bible, sometimes it is a spiritual adultery. We go and cheat on the Lord. The church being His bride. And we cheat on the Lord when we turn our back on the church and we go out to the world. And so for the Lord, it is imperative that we have honor in the home. It's imperative that we teach our children honor. Why? Because when they don't learn to honor mom and dad, they do not learn to honor widows, the elderly, elders in the church. And all of a sudden, the elders say, you know what, this is what we're going to do. And we've been given the authority in God's Word. And this is an area of judgment. So this is what we've decided to do. And all of a sudden, someone who wasn't taught from an early age to honor authority, Hebrews 13:17, to honor that authority, they buck the system, so to speak. Well, I think we ought to get over here and do this. I think we ought to have small groups and have all of these different meetings over here. I know that the church says to gather together. I see the importance and I know that the eldership should be over this. But this is what I want to do and I'm not going to honor their authority. But you see, maybe if we teach that right off the bat from the home. That Ephesians 6:1, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't push them around and don't pick at them to be exactly what you want them to be outside of the word of the Lord. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord every time we teach our children, every time that we instruct them, and every time that we give them instructive or corrective discipline, it comes with a foundation of God's Word. Colossians 3:5, same instruction there that Paul gives. And I'm afraid that if our young people don't have a grasp of honoring their parents in the home, they're not going to get a grasp of honoring the church and the authority of the Lord. And that's why we have the movement, the emerging church movement, and all of these other movements and conversations and all of this. Let's just get away from the Bible. They don't honor God's Word. And let me just be frank here just for a moment. When we don't honor God's Word, there's one thing that awaits us, and that's hell. That's condemnation. If you love me, isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep is extending. You see, don't let them go, but keep them. I have a pocket knife here in my pocket. If I were to go over to anyone and say, I want you to keep this knife. And I come back next week and I say, hey, do you still have that knife? No, I gave it to somebody. Did you do what I told you to do? No, you didn't keep it. You held on and then you let it go. Well, he says, I want you to continue to keep my commandments, not the preacher's. Not the presidents or the professors. I want you to keep my commandments. Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than man. My commandments, my laws, my statutes. I want you to do what I have instructed you to do. And when we don't honor in the home at a young age, there's a greater risk of not honoring the laws and commandments that God has given us today. All right, now, we discussed those three principles. But this is where the rubber meets the road right here. This is where we kind of get down to it. I want to talk about the challenge of children not honoring their parents. And the first challenge I want to bring to your attention today: some children do not honor their parents because some parents don't live worthy of honor. They don't live worthy of honor. I spent 4 years in the Air Force, and I'm here to tell you that I obeyed a lot of men and women who didn't deserve the honor. But there was still the charge to listen and do what they told me to do. I've never had a problem with nicotine, smoking. But I've picked up many cigarettes off the ground because I had someone with more stripes on their sleeve say, Airman Tally, go out there and pick these things up. And then smoke while I was doing it. I thought, okay, I'll do it because I have to. But there was no honor that was held there. Now, that's not the truth of Jesus Christ. He lived, He did everything, and for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Proverbs 22:6 has already been mentioned. And train them up in the way that they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. If I'm going to be honored, I must live honorably. Now, how can I, as a man, live honorably so that my children can say, I honor you as my father? Number one, I can be the head of my household. It is not an option, men. It is not an option. Baseball teams, we've talked about that a little bit already. Well, there's a lineup. And when it comes time for a baseball player or a softball player to go to the base, it doesn't matter if you swing or not, but you have the responsibility to go to that home plate and at least hold the bat and let the ball go by three times for three strikes and then go sit back down. That is your role, that's your responsibility, and you will uphold that. Or the team will suffer an out because your negligence. The same is true in the home. And if the man does not step up and be the head of the home will suffer because of his negligence. 1 Corinthians 11:3. The head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:23-24. We know that the wives submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. Oh, but my husband is this, he's that, he's this, he's that, he's less than what he ought to be as a spiritual man. He's the head of the home. But we're not going to contradict what God has said. Now, I obey God rather than man, but that doesn't negate the fact that there are rules that I have to obey here, just as long as they don't contradict the rules that God has given me. Second of all, how can a woman live honorably in the home? I so appreciate those who, because of mistakes that were made in marriage, have, for whatever reason, have had to part ways, and a woman or a man has been left to rear children all by themselves. I understand that it has to be a great task, and the church needs to help bring those children along. But I'm going to have to get in the boat with Mike Bonner on this one. When the woman is stepping outside of her role. Now, please give me time here to get to the Bible. When a woman is stepping outside of her role because the house needs to be a little bit more fancy, or we need a better car, better name brand, a car, or I need this or I need that, or better said, I want this or I want that. So I'm going to go out and work outside the home. And I don't have to, but this is what I want to do. And we'll just place our children in the care of other people. There is no scripture in God's Word that condones the neglect of children so that we can have things that we want. But rather, Titus 2 teaches this principle, that the woman is to be the keeper at home. That's an interesting word there. I believe the American Standard might have the word guardian, but that's what it means. The guardian of the home. And I like to think of it as a soldier there at Buckingham Palace. And whatever's going to come into that home, the woman is there as the man is out providing. That's another way to be honorable. Sit around and don't do anything for your family. There's no honor in that. It's teaching another son or another generation, hey, you just sit around, let the government foot the bills for that. But when I'm capable and able to go out and work, and the wife is fully capable because of the husband's salary to stay at home and to guard those children and to teach them right, to be the guardian of the home, that is the number one primary role of the woman in the home. The page is turned then to Proverbs 31, and we read about a woman there, though, that didn't just stay in the home. But do this in your personal study. Go down and list in chronological order what the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 did. And we're going to note the first thing she did was she took care of her home. What was the last thing she did? Took care of the neighbor. Took care of some business. But she said, I want to make sure that my family is cared for first. And that's what the woman in the home needs to do. Submitting to the husband, Ephesians 5:22, the joint responsibility. I might bring up the lies that Abraham and Sarah told in Genesis 12. Go a little over double the chapters away to Genesis 27. You read about Isaac and Rebekah and the lies that were there in there. Where did they learn it? In the home. Some parents don't live honorably. And that's why it's difficult for children to say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and I certainly will do that. Yes, ma'am, I'll do that. I'll get this homework done. Yes, I'll clean my room. That's your... Because they don't see their parents doing anything like that. So why is it that they're requiring it of us? And so the challenge is for us as parents, step up. Let's do more of what we're supposed to be doing. Another challenge for bringing honor in the home is... Some just don't honor their children. Let's go ahead and get our fingers walking here. Let's get back to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And we're going to read through a series of verses here, starting in verse 13 to Proverbs 10. A widow was being honored at a banquet because of all that she had done with her seven sons. They all had become very prominent in society, were living right, doing things for the community. As we say, church-going folks.
doing their best, providing a good example for others, other young men. And so one of the speakers there at the banquet said, "Now, Mrs. So-and-so, I'd like for you to tell us, what was it? What's the key ingredient to bringing up good young men like you've done?" And she said, "The secret ingredient is this: an occasional pat on the back. It has to come young enough, often enough, and low enough." See, the secret is getting them the proper discipline at the proper time. In Proverbs 10 and 13, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Proverbs 13 and 24. We'll notice two more for time's sake. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." I cannot help, as we go to Proverbs 19:18, I cannot help but thinking about times when my hand has been forced, because I love my children, of going in the room and saying, "This is why this is about to happen." And laughing at parents who would say, "Oh, this hurts me more than it hurts you," and saying, "I'm on the hitting, I'm on the getting whooped then. What do you mean?" And Esther and I have talked about this before. The more we parent, the slower we walk to that door, knowing that on the other end, we're going to have to give a spanking. We don't want to do it because we know that it is going to hurt. Children, don't be fooled. It's going to hurt. But it hurts a parent. Oh, it hurts. It hurts because we know that there's a reason it has to be done. And it's because a wrong was committed, and it needs to be corrected. In 19:18, "Chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Remember, we talked about 1 Samuel 3 and 13, how that Samuel said to Eli, "You didn't restrain your sons." The same word restraineth is found in Job 15:4. And Job had explained, I don't understand why this is coming. So Eliphaz came to him and said, "I can tell you why it's coming, because your mouth has opened up with vile words, but you've restrained your prayers." What does it mean? You've held back. Eli held back. Maybe Eli said something like this: "They'll grow out of it. They're only 3. They're only 5. They're just teenagers." Maybe we said something like that. While there's hope. And finally this morning, another challenge to bringing honor in the home is because children are just not taught to honor. I will be honest with you, I did not understand the American flag until after I had gone into the Air Force. And then I began to understand its significance. And now I honor it. And whenever our national anthem is played at a ball game, it is very rare that I make it through that without a tear flowing down my cheeks. And children just need to be taught. They just need to be taught to honor elderly people, to honor 62 years of marriage, to honor someone who can say, "I've been through that, I've done that, and here's the outcome." And to honor the Scriptures. It's James 1:27. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's pure and undefiled religion. Honor them. A young boy went to his father. His father had his back turned toward him, and he said, "Father, I need to tell you something. I messed up. I have hurt your name. And I'm sorry. And I make this guarantee, I'll live from this point forward honoring this name." Here's what I want to challenge all of us to do today. Become, if you're not a child of God,
So you can look to your Heavenly Father and say, from this day forward, I will honor you. I will live in the shadow of thy Son's cross, and I will bring glory and honor to you. Is that appealing to you? To live for God, the Creator, the Sustainer of life? If it is, believe on His Son today. Be ready to make that change in your life and turn from the way that you're living. There are only two directions. One is to heaven, and the other is to hell. And give your life over to the Lord. Confess His Son's great name before the witnesses here. And live out His name in your life every day. And be immersed in the watery grave of baptism so that your sins can be washed away and the Lord can add you to the church. Oh, Kirk, I'm honored to say that I've done that. I've done that, but I have not lived honorably. And my Father has not been honored by the way that I'm living. And I need to make that right. Then repent of that. Confess those sins as publicly as they've been committed and make right those wrongs in your life today. Don't leave this assembly and not be justified before the Lord. Friends, if we can help you to honor God today, please make it known now by coming forward as together we stand and sing.